wonderful. In 1986, I know that's before some of your time, but I was a young boy and I was watching, and I'm pretty sure it was live TV, but that space launch, the Challenger space launch, does anybody remember that one? Yeah, unfortunately. And yeah, 73 seconds into the launch, it went. And it forever will be remembered. It was a horrible moment. The Challenger was set to go around Halley's Comet, take some pictures, and they had arranged through this program for school teachers. They called it the Teacher in Space program. So a young school teacher, Krista McAuliffe, was part of this mission, and millions watching this tragedy unfold right before our eyes. In the months that followed, investigations revealed that engineers had warned about these O-rings in cold weather, that they might have troubles with it. And unfortunately, these engineers, their voices didn't get heard when before the launch. So you can imagine, they knew about it, and yet nobody did anything because they weren't listening. They didn't listen to the engineers. You know, as much as we live under God's amazing grace, where God's goodness is there, there's forgiveness, there's second chances, this tragedy reminds us of the real cost and consequences when we don't listen, when we ignore the truth. Because sometimes the truth is really hard. Sometimes it's really uncomfortable. Sometimes it challenges our desires and our plans. Yet when we ignore or disregard the truth, there can be costly consequences. Today we'll explore how Jesus calls us to listen to God's truth, to listen for God's word, even when it challenges us. In our passage from John's Gospel that Jan read, we see another moment when the truth is spoken, but it's not fully heard or understand. This time it's Pilate, famous Pilate, and it's really a clash of two different kingdoms. We've already kind of gone over that already. The eternal kingdom, God's the King of Kings, and Pilate representing the kingdoms of this world. He's the governor of Judea, representing the earthly kingdom. But Pilate asks this very pointed question. He asks Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews? Are you the King of the Jews?" And I think what he really wants to know is, what you're about, is it going to disrupt what I'm about? Is it going to cause problems for my reign here in Judea? Is it going to cause problems for the Roman Empire? And Jesus is kind of silent on that part. This is what preacher Scott Hosey mentions. He says, Jesus has his hands bound behind him. He doesn't look the part as a king. He has his lips split. His cheek is puffy from getting punched. Where one of the high priest official had whacked him earlier, Jesus looks nothing like a king. Meanwhile, he's being interrogated by a man who did possess some, you know, the outer trappings of worldly power and might. Pilate was no doubt arrayed in his governor's attire and with a reunite of other well-dressed associates all around him at his beck and call. Yet Jesus tells Pilate this. He says, look, don't worry about it. Don't worry if I'm the King of the Jews, because my kingdom is not from this world. My kingdom is not from this world. And I've come, Jesus says, to testify to the truth. Jesus is here for the truth. Pilate sees Jesus from an earthly perspective. He listens to Jesus with his mind already made up. Pilate, like many, are unable to recognize the truth that Jesus embodies. Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. Pilate's outlook is shaped by the notion that might makes right. You've heard that one before, right? I think we've said that on the school ground anyways. Where power and control and self-interest are the values of the kingdom of the world. But Pilate's unable to see it. And so at the end of this passage, you didn't hear it, but right after this, Pilate asked Jesus this question that echoes through all of history. What is the truth? What is the truth? Well, way back in the 1950s, there was a book that was written by George Orwell. Does anybody know what this one was called? 1984. And George wrote this book about the concerns that he saw in the future. And it looks like these concerns are coming to fruition right now, here and now. He talked about the manipulation of truth, the rise of tyranny, how truth and facts within societies get all messed up, and nobody knows what's going on anymore. I think we live in this kind of post-truth era. Some call it post-modernity, but it's the idea that all these different narratives are the truth. So you've got truth here, 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 here. And it's like, whoa, where do I go? How do I grab it? What do I grab onto? And people's personal opinions, you know, are more important than facts or science. You know, it's a period where people tailor what they do based on what aligns with their own desires or wants or biases. And it makes relationships, like how do you have Christmas dinner sometimes when everybody's got different truths and they're so strong in them and you're just like, whoa, I don't want to go there with this one. I don't want to go there with this person. Makes it entertaining to have Christmas dinner. Am I the only one? Or anyways. Because I don't think people listen to each other anymore. It's hard. Can I get an amen? There we go. It's not easy to be a Christian in this time with so much division, manipulation, despondency. And we do benefit from new technologies. This is important. It helps us have all this information at our fingertips. We can get things done a lot quicker. You know, I Googled quite a bit for the sermon today. You know, and it's just there. It's information accessible. I don't have to read, you know, 10 different books. But artificial intelligence is really a big part of our lives today. And I was on Instagram, and this famous person came up. And I'm like, I doubt that person said that. But they have this technology where they can mimic the person's voice and type in what they want them to say. It's actually really scary that people can say things and you're like, did they really say that? But this is the world that we live in, or at least my kids are living in right now. How in the world are they going to know the truth when it can be manipulated so readily? It's a real concern for us today. And it's not just in politics or media. What about our own souls? Like, what's true deep down inside beyond this body, you know, when our 99 years are gone? What's true then? What voices are we willing to listen to now? What is truth? Maybe Pilate isn't too far off in his questioning. The good news of the gospel will and always will be that even though Pilate is confused and blind, you and I, we don't have to be. We don't have to let voices tell us what the truth is, because Jesus says everyone who belongs to the truth, we can belong to it. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And Jesus also says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. We are his and he is ours. And to belong to Jesus is to belong to the truth and vice versa. We can, through the Holy Spirit, be confident that we're on the right track. And how many people get off on the wrong track? Whew, I thought I was the only one. But the Spirit gently nudges us to get back onto the right track. Like, thank God for that. Because I could probably use like a hammer to the head because I'm off over here. But our Lord gently, like a good shepherd, nudges us back on. Hey, come on, time to get back on the right track. If we get off, he gently prompts us. We can confess our sin and get back on the horse again. That's a beautiful thing. That God doesn't hold our sins against us. And if we acknowledge them, like it's like, buddy, you're already there. Like, I've died for you. That sin's taken care of. Like, that's a relief, right? And you can move forward. Amazing. The Spirit will lead us to get back on track, thank God. And it's not just about information filling our head with facts about who God is or history, which is beautiful. I love history, which is amazing. Knowledge is wonderful. But about having a faith that seeks understanding, having a faith that knows God. We can know this shepherd. We have a relational God that loves us, that cares for us. you know, that wants us to eat our broccoli and veggies. I'm a carnivore, but Jesus, the Word made flesh. This is God's word to us. God's word, if God speaks to us, it's Jesus. God's word is Jesus. And God speaks to us, Jesus. And what does Jesus say to us? Jesus says to us, come unto me. Come unto me and rest. He is the way. He is the truth of God. We find life in him, life to the fullest. And he's a good shepherd. He's not going to turn us away. You know, we make a mistake. He's not going to turn us away. He's going to gather us back in. This is the life of living in the good shepherd. Hallelujah. And Jesus doesn't only just say it. He doesn't just say words, come to me and I'll give you rest. He shows us. He allows himself to be arrested, to be put on trial, mocked and scourged. He carries a cross for us too. Come unto me, he says. Listen to these wonderful words of life. Participate in the kingdom right here, right now. The first will be last. The last will be first. Blessed are the poor. Let's go. The good news is that the kingdom of Christ, it's built different. The kingdom of Christ is built different. I'm part of a Ford family, and they love Fords, and they're like, every other truck is no good. And they're like, Fords are built different. The kingdom of God is built different. The weak are first, right? Blessed are the poor. It's upside down. It doesn't make sense, but it does make sense. If you're struggling, if you're hurting, if you're broken, this is good news. God's power is love and sacrifice, and it transforms people and situation. Someone's on drugs, they can be overcome. They can get clean. They can enjoy life again. If someone's robbing them, it can happen. I've seen it happen. This good news flows through us, through the King of this kingdom. There's forgiveness and second chances. A kingdom where you are forgiven and I am forgiven, even though we mess up, keep doing it sometimes. But by God's grace, we're marked out as children of God. Charles Colson, he was an aide to Nixon a long time ago, and he founded a prison fellowship. And he said this one time, he said, all the kings and queens I have known in history, you know, sent their people out to die for them. But only one king decided to die for his people. I thought that was a really good quote. Christ is God's truth. Listen to him. Look to him. God's word, Jesus, still speaks today. In our world of shifting narratives and short-lived opinions and fads, his voice is the constant we need to listen to, offering us hope and peace and encouragement and direction to keep going in our lives. There's a statue of Jesus that exists in the Cathedral of Denmark in the city of Copenhagen, and the sculptor was the master Albert Bertal Thorvaldsen, who died in 1844, and he crafted this beautiful monument, and it was, you know, Jesus with his hands lifted up in awesome power. His face was regally, like, put together. He had, like, an incredible jawline, you know. He was, my kids talk about this weird stuff. What do they do? I don't know, like, mewing or something, and, like, I don't know. Like, Jesus was, like, the Rizzler, and, like, he had, like, incredible... He was the Alpha, like Alpha Jesus. I don't know, just picture that. Anyways, I'm maybe going over your heads here, but his hands are uprooted. He's commanding, right? And then they put this, I don't know why they did that. They put this beautiful sculpture that was going into this incredible place. They put it in like a shed and water got to it. And Jesus' face like drooped into his chest. And his hands were up here and they fell down. And the guy was so upset about it. He was just raging. And he decided He kept looking at it, and he said, "My goodness, this is more accurate than the Jesus that I had sculpted with these arms, this mighty Jesus." He said, "This Jesus, instead of like, follow my commands." And he chiseled under it a softer message. "Come unto me." This is the King. "Come unto me. Not high and lifted up, but lowly, a stable, a baby. This story that sometimes is too far-fetched. This is the King of the kingdom. The voice of the King of Kings calls you today, my friend. Come unto me, you will find rest." This is what our world is seeking. This is what Christmas is really about. The rest of God. Our neighbors and our communities busy shopping, going to Walmart and getting a little penguin to bring some life to their house, lighted it up. And anyways, that's just me. Anyways, friends, listen to him in our busy world. A preacher shared a sermon, and as he went on, something like similar to this, and he said he became more animated the more he got, and he was getting all riled up. And he accidentally knocked his papers off of the lectern, and he said, "Oh gee, where was I?" And somebody piped up, it was probably a smart aleck, "Right near the end," they said to him. I promise, I'm right near the end. We are at the end of this sermon. We're at the end of the liturgical year. Next week is Advent. Next week we really hunker down and celebrate this King who comes in the most unexpected way, a babe born in a manger. There's hope, there's peace, there's joy, there's love. This is the time of year that we get to celebrate. And as we prep for this season, Pilate's question echoes in our minds. What is truth? Friends, we don't need to look any further than this truth, the babe in the manger, the man on the cross, the empty tomb, the very power of God that's pumping through your veins right now by the Spirit of love and joy and peace and hope. The very power that God's put you in this world for the work of salvation. Listen to him. Amen.